Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a Roller Tactics subsign workflow stack in Ableton Live 12. And if that sounds a bit technical at first, don't worry. The idea is actually really simple. We're taking a plain sine-based sub and turning it into a rolling D&B-based system, one that stays solid in the low end, but still has movement, note identity, and enough attitude to carry a drop. This is the kind of bass approach you hear in rollers, darker jungle-influenced tunes, stripped-back club tracks, and neural-leaning D&B where the bass has to feel alive without fighting the drums. The big concept here is separation of roles, not one giant patch trying to do everything. We want a stack, a clean sub that holds the weight, a mid-sign layer that gives us note definition and motion, and, if we need it, a dirt layer that adds grit and helps the bass translate on smaller speakers. That's the whole game. Why this works in D&B is because the bass has to do two jobs at once. It has to hit hard enough to move a system, but it also has to stay disciplined enough that the kick and snare can still speak clearly. A subsign stack gives you that balance. It keeps the low end monosafe, mix safe, and arrangement ready, and it lets you build a bass line that feels like it's gliding under the track instead of wobbling over it. So let's start with the most important part, the rhythm. Write a simple MIDI bass line first. Keep it locked to the groove, and don't overcomplicate it. For a beginner roller, I'd usually start with short notes, some offbeat placement, and little pickups that lead into the snare rather than constant 16ths everywhere. You want the bass to feel like it's pulling the bar forward, not crowding every beat. What to listen for here is whether the bass feels like it's helping the drums move, or whether it's stepping on them. If the snare suddenly feels smaller when the bass enters, the rhythm is probably too busy. In D&B, a good bass line breathes with the drums. It doesn't fight them. Now build the clean sub on its own track. In Ableton Live 12, Operator is a perfect choice for this, and Waveedable can also do it very cleanly. Keep it simple. Sine oscillator, no stereo widening, no extra unison, no fancy filter movement yet. Just a pure foundation. Set the envelope so the sub responds quickly. Fast attack, short to medium decay, and a release that stays tight without clicking. You want it controlled, not floppy. If you're using legato or glide, use it intentionally. Don't let notes smear together by accident. What to listen for is something almost boring, and that's a compliment. The sub should feel solid, deep, and stable. If you can hear too much buzzy character at this stage, you've probably processed it too early. Keep the sub clean. Let it do its job. Next, duplicate the MIDI part onto a second track and build the mid-sign layer. This is where the subsign workflow starts to come alive. The sub stays pure, and this layer gives the ear enough harmonic information to actually hear the note on club systems and smaller speakers. A nice starter chain here is operator or waveedable into saturator, then EQ8, and maybe auto filter if you want some movement. Start with light saturation, just enough to create presence. Then high pass the layer so it doesn't fight the sub. Usually somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz is a good zone to begin with, but trust your ears more than the number. If the layer gets harsh, take a narrow cut somewhere in the upper mids, around 1.5 to 4kHz. If it's too polite, add a little more drive. The goal is not to make it huge. The goal is to make the note readable. This is where the classic A or B decision comes in. If you want a cleaner roller feel, keep the mid layer nearly sine clean and use only subtle saturation. That works beautifully when the drums are already detailed. If you want something darker and more aggressive, push the saturation a bit harder and let the tone move more. That suits sparse, heavy tracks where the bass needs to carry more attitude. Now lock the low end down. Use utility to keep the sub fully mono. With that 0% on the sub is a great habit. On the mid layer, you can keep it mono or nearly mono too, at least until the bass is clearly speaking. If you want any width later, keep it above the low end and never let the core weight drift around. This matters because wide low end feels exciting in solo, but in the real world it usually weakens the kick and makes the bass less reliable in mono. In D&B, the club sub has to stay centered. If you collapse the mix to mono and the bass disappears or gets hollow, the stack is too wide or too facey. Now let's bring in movement, but do it musically. Don't make the bass constantly wiggle just because you can. A roller is built on repetition with micro change, so use automation in phrases. 4 bars, 8 bars, maybe 16 bars. That's where the energy should shift. You can automate auto filter on the mid layer. You can automate saturator drive, filter cutoff, or even small volume changes. For example, you might keep the first 2 bars slightly more closed, open it a touch over the next two bars, and then add a little extra brightness or drive in the final two bars before the phrase resets. That creates tension and release without losing the hypnotic feel. What to listen for is whether the bass still reads as a bass line while it evolves. If the movement is too much, the bass stops feeling like a roller and starts feeling like a sound effect. In darker D&B, less movement often feels heavier. That's a really useful mindset shift. Now put the drums back under it. This is the real test, not solo. Context: listen to how the bass interacts with the kick and snare. Does the sub step on the kick? Does the bass leave room for the snare? Does the rhythm increase the forward motion, or does it flatten the groove? If the kick feels swallowed, pull more low end out of the mid layer and tighten the MIDI. If the snare feels weakened, shorten the notes around the snare hit. A good rule here is simple: if the drums start feeling smaller when the bass comes in, the problem is usually note length and spacing before its EQ. So tighten the MIDI first, then clean the frequency balance. If the track needs extra attitude, this is where you add the optional dirt layer. Duplicate the mid layer again, then push it into texture mode. More saturation, maybe a bit of overdrive if needed, and then high pass it aggressively so it cannot interfere with the low end. Often somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz is a sensible starting point. The dirt layer should act like a shadow, not the main voice, not the thing taking over the bass. Just enough grit to help the line translate and feel urgent. If it gets fizzy, trim the top end. If it feels too thin, ease the high pass down slightly or give it a touch more saturation, but keep it underneath the main stack. Quiet confidence works better than brute force here. And here's a really important coach tip: if you find yourself tweaking this layer over and over, that's usually the sign to print it. Bounce it to audio. Commit. Move forward. In D&B, endless tweaking can kill momentum fast. Sometimes the best decision is to freeze the useful idea and start arranging. Once the stack is working, print or consolidate the bass into audio if you want more DJ tool control. That opens up a lot of useful edits. You can cut a note before the snare for tension. Reverse a tail into a transition. Leave a one beat gap before the drop for impact. Duplicate a hit as a pickup into the next phrase. Suddenly the bass becomes an arrangement object, not just a synth part. That's a big difference, especially in roller writing. The bass should serve the structure, not just loop forever. Now build a simple 8-bar arrangement and see if the idea holds up. You don't need a full tune yet, just enough to prove the concept. Bring the bass in with filtered drums, let the full stack hit in the drop, then create one small variation in the last couple of bars. Maybe one extra note, maybe one note removed, maybe a slightly more open filter, just one control change. What to listen for is whether the bass still feels exciting after a few bars, or whether it becomes exhausting. If it's too repetitive, add a small switch up. If it's too busy, simplify. A strong roller has enough repetition to lock in, but enough variation to stay alive in a mix. Before you wrap up, do one final clarity pass. Lower the bass stack if the master is getting crowded. Check mono again. Make sure the sub is still present, the mid layer is readable, and the dirt layer feels like edge rather than a separate instrument. If the bass feels too big, reduce the mid layer before you touch the sub. Usually the problem is too much harmonic content, not the sign itself. Also, listen at low volume. That's a great quality check. If the note identity disappears completely, the mid layer probably needs a little more harmonic support. If it gets harsh, the dirt layer is too loud or too wide in character. Keep refining until it feels controlled. So to recap, build a simple roller-style MIDI groove, make a clean mono sub, add a mid-sign layer for note readability, and only then bring an optional dirt for attitude. Use phrase-based automation for movement, not constant motion. Check everything against the drums early, and if the sound is working, commit it and move on. That's the roller tactics approach. Roll-based bass design. Weight from the sub. Readability from the mid. Translation from the dirt. Simple, disciplined, and powerful. Now it's your turn. Set a 15-minute timer and build the 3-layer stack inside an 8-bar loop using only stock Ableton devices. Keep the sub clean, keep the mid readable, and add just one small variation in the last two bars. Then collapse it to mono, play it with drums, and see if it still rolls. If it does, you're on the right track. Keep going.